listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
The chances of complication or death for a living organ donor are less than 1% in the United States. Yet, how would you feel to voluntarily have one of your kidneys removed, even if it enabled someone you love to survive? Would you happily allow your healthy body to undergo surgery and give up an organ that's working perfectly fine for you? What kind of courage would this choice require? My guest today had this decision to make and decided to give one of her kidneys to her sister in order to save her life. Today is National Kidney Day. Our guest now refers to herself as the reluctant donor, and she's here to talk with us about her experience. You're listening to Full Power Living, the only show on international media dedicated to the exploration and understanding of emotions and their role in human life. I'm Eileen Dillon, your creator and host, and during this broadcast, we invite you to chat with us on Blog Talk Radio or EmotionalPro.com. And also, we have a toll-free number, 800-498-0578. That's 888-498-0578. I think I said that wrong the first time. 888-498-0570. 888-498-0570. I was thinking to remind you that we actually are broadcasting two shows today. Immediately following this one, we have a recorded broadcast that I did with Daniel Recknitzer, who's in Australia and is talking about whole brain intelligence and how to work with it and how it allows us to amplify our enlightenment, our journey to enlightenment. Please listen to that show. You'll really like it. My guest for this show is Suzanne Ruff. She serves on the National Kidney Foundation's Living Donor Council Executive Committee, and she feels the honor to have the opportunity to further address the issues that living donors face and to spread the word about the miracle of organ donation from all donors, both living and deceased. Although Suzanne is delighted that her old kidney now happily resides within her sister's body, she believes that being a living donor is an intensely personal choice. She continues to work and pray for a cure for polycystic kidney disease, better known as PKD, and volunteer for Life Source. Suzanne and her husband, Bill, are currently living in North Carolina, close to where her sister, Joanne, also lives. And you can find her on the internet at thereluctantdonor.com. Suzanne Ruff, welcome to Full Power Living.
Oh, hello, Eileen. It's a delight to be here.
Well, chronic kidney disease and end-stage renal disease affect more than 2 out of every 1,000 people in the United States. And when I looked this up, I found that diabetes, high blood pressure are the two most common causes. But there are other diseases and conditions like lupus or toxic chemicals that injure the kidneys, other kinds of injury, kidney stones and infections, some pain or cancer drugs, and genetically generated diseases like the polycystic kidney disease. I think most of us take our kidneys for granted, and we just expect them to work, and we rely on them, and we go about our lives. But kidney problems are often irreversible, and they can take someone on an inexorable downward journey very quickly that ends in just one place, and that is death. Talk to me about the importance of kidneys, please.
Oh, kidneys are just positively one of our most amazing parts of our body. They're small. They're about the size of your fist, and they pump approximately 52 gallons of blood each day. They filter all the toxins out of your blood. They regulate your blood pressure and your electrolytes and your vitamin D intake, which promotes strong bones. They're just amazing little organs that we are blessed to receive, and if you have working kidneys, I always tell people you need to give thanks each morning when you pee.
Uh-huh. Tell us about polycystic kidney disease and how it, you know, in your family and what it is.
Did you hear the part about what kidneys do?
Yes.
When I told you that? Okay.
Yes.
So you're asking about PKD. Okay.
Yes.
I gotcha. Okay. Polycystic kidney disease is a genetic disease. It's characteristic by poly means many, so many cysts, multiple cysts of varying sizes grow over both kidneys, eventually causing them to fail. The cysts are uncontrolled cell proliferation filled with fluid. There's no cure for polycystic kidney disease. The only treatment is dialysis or a transplant.
Right. And the kidneys grow extremely large, several times larger than the fist size that you were describing before. Is that correct?
Exactly. And that's why I always say a normal kidney is about the size of your fist, and a PKD kidney can become the size of an NFL football.
Oh, my God.
They're massive.
Mm-hmm.
I have a sister who has most people don't understand when a PKD patient receives a transplant, they do not remove the old kidneys. And one of my sisters, the doctors have told that each of her PKD kidneys weighs 14 pounds each.
Now,
so,
why do they not take them out, Suzanne?
Well, in both my sisters' cases, they were extremely ill at the time of the transplant. So they did not think that they could withstand the surgery to remove two kidneys and to receive a transplant surgery. There was just no way they could cope with that type of operation. It would be a long, long operation.
And so they're not creating problems when they're there. They're just not working.
Actually, they do sometimes create problems because the cysts continue to grow, although there's great progress made right now on a new drug that is causing some of the cysts to shrink. But some people do have to have their PKD kidneys removed before they can receive a transplant because they're so large. But they never do it all at once. It's a two-step thing, and that's relatively new, that they remove the old ones, because we've got so much more advances in following the progression of the disease. But some people, like both my sisters who have had a transplant, doctors don't want to touch her. My mother used to say, doctors don't want to touch us with a 10-foot pole because they are afraid of the complications and the risk of an infection from the surgery, and then that would jeopardize the transplanted kidney, which my mother used to say, you look around, kidneys don't grow on trees, girls.
Your mother had a lot of character based on your book. Well, you've now lost, 19 members of your family, including aunts, uncles, your mother, cousins, your grandmother.
We've actually lost eight. There are almost 19 of us with the disease. Some of them, eight have died of this disease, yes.
Oh, well, I got that incorrect. I'm glad that not so many people, but
yeah.
Still, that's a lot of, that's half the people of your family. How has this loss affected your family?
Well, it was many of the people I love most, and I always say that it affected me even before I was born, because my grandmother was the first that we can trace the disease to, and she was she was 52 years old, and she was told there was nothing, it was the 1940s, and that doctors were telling her that there was nothing more they could do for her. It was before dialysis is available, and it was obviously way before transplantation was available. And she went home and told her husband, because she was my grandfather, because she knew she was known for her dinner parties, that she wanted to make the house look nice for her funeral. So she said, let's recarpet the house. And
oh,
she died,
God,
3 months later.
Wow.
And I was the only I was her named after my grandmother. And when she died at her deathbed, her six children were there present at her death. And my mother was a teenager, and my mother was the youngest of my grandmother's six children. And out of those six children, five of them inherited PKD and died from the disease.
Oh, my God.
So I feel like it's been my... I think when they named me after my grandmother, and then because I was the only one of my mother's children not to inherit the disease, I feel like there's a personal responsibility involved with that.
Uh-huh. So it has really highlighted your involvement with helping people with kidney issues, with organ donation, with publicizing to the world that something needs to be done here. Am I understanding that correctly?
Not always was I like that, though. As I grew older, I hated PKD. I hated it with, and I have to say that it's brought me to where I am today, though. So there were great life lessons that I learned because of PKD. But I had no courage, which is why the book is called The Reluctant Donor. I'm a lot like the Cowardly Lion in The Wizard of Oz. And I associated hospitals and doctors and needles with death because some of the people I loved most died one by one. And our mother was the youngest one to develop the disease. And she was so full of faith and love, and she had a great sense of humor. And I remember when she sat on dialysis one day when I visited her. She was on dialysis for 10 years. I remember that I walked in and she was hooked up to the dialysis machine with her blood pumping through, and she said to me, "Susie, I'm so lucky." And she said, "I'm the luckiest girl alive. I was the youngest of my brothers and sisters, and with each of their deaths, science learned something to help me." And I thought, what an incredible woman she was. Mm. And then when it happened to my sisters and I, when we had to face it square in the face, the disease that she battled, I realized that there was a lot that I had to learn about being courageous. And I had the greatest teachers.
Yeah, and it was... So, you know, that's an interesting point that your mother made. When your grandmother had the disease, there was no dialysis. There were no transplants. What do we have now? How has the treatment progressed? And maybe the question is, what do we still have to learn as well? Where do we still not know what to do?
Well, I think that when I first started writing their stories, it was to pass on to my nieces so that I think we need to never forget where we've come and those who paved the way for us. There seems to be a dialysis center on almost every corner now. You see them in a lot of places, and obviously you mentioned the reasons for failed kidneys, and there's some of it is frustrating to me because PKD is a genetic thing, but some of the other reasons for failing kidneys are because of silent high blood pressure, untreated high blood pressure, that, you know, people need to really remember how important it is to watch their blood pressure and to take care of their kidneys. So just, you know, what we're doing now, talking and praising kidneys, is one thing. And as far as those who are diagnosed today with kidney disease, my hope is that the book will give them a hope, because we have gone so far. And one of my most humbling experiences was a woman who came up to me when I was at a conference, and I had a booth for my book, and she had my book in her hand, and it was all curled up and marked, and she said to me, I bring this book to dialysis for it to help me on my bad days. So that was humbling, and hoping that people do realize that, yes, it's horrific to have to be on dialysis sometimes, but it's also a gift of medical science that we didn't have not that long ago.
I know when we were arranging the show, I shared with you that I had a neighbor, Dennis, who is no longer living. You suggested we donate this, or we dedicate this program to him. He got a transplant, and it worked well for 20 years, and then he needed another set of transplants. And there were so many difficulties with it because he was told, for example, that he was too healthy to get a transplant. That you, there are so many people waiting for kidney transplants that you really have to be at death's door before they operate on you, which, of course, isn't good because you're not strong then. And sadly, he eventually lost his life.
And they told my sister the same thing when she began dialysis. They said she was too healthy, even though she was in critical condition the day before. But with PKD, there's nothing wrong with you except your kidneys. You have no other complications. Usually you're pretty robust, and she was. And so you're right. That's a whole other conversation, isn't it, about some of the things that we could do to help with removing people from the waiting list. The poor PKD people, they have no control over it, but some others do. And I'm so sorry for the loss of your friend, Dennis. It's a sad situation.
Yes, it is. Thank you for that. We're up to our first break, Suzanne. I'm talking today with Suzanne Ruff, who's author of The Reluctant Donor, about polycystic kidney disease and organ donation. It's National Kidney Day. Coming up, we're going to hear more about her personal story, especially facing the reality of giving up one of her kidneys. So come back for our next segment right here on Full Power Living.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Parent, have you found all the parenting information you've been hearing lately a bit confusing? Are you having trouble sorting out the best response to your defiant child, or feeling hopeless about regaining respect from your teen, or determining whether your actions as a parent are the right ones? Instead of the usual pressures of parenting that you've been experiencing, you can partner with your child, raising incredible kids who are destined to become amazing adults. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, giving you the opportunity to become the incredible parent for incredible kids. We have the method and the tools. You bring your optimism for learning and the kids. Raise Incredible Kids offers a comprehensive system for raising kids who are responsible, make their own great decisions, and become immune to peer pressure. To get you ready for this new era in parenting, get my free 10-page report, Incredible Communication That Helps You Create Incredible Kids, by visiting RaiseIncredibleKids.com now. That's RaiseIncredibleKids.com. All right, welcome back to Full Power Living. I have just a few announcements. Our upcoming guests are listed at the top of the radio show page on emotionalpro.com. And next week I'm talking with Meadow Lynn, who's co-author of The Mystic Cookbook. And the focus of The Mystic Cookbook is to use food and the rituals of eating to help you on your path to enlightenment. It's a very interesting approach. Join us for this and all the wonderful shows on Full Power Living. And also, I want to thank you for helping us with our mission of transforming our world through the mastery and power of human emotions. If you do miss our live broadcasts, we keep them archived for a couple of months on the sites. And you also can subscribe on iTunes so you don't miss any of them. Today, my guest is Suzanne Ruff. She's one of the survivors of a big Irish family that has, in three generations, lost a total of 8 people to polycystic kidney disease, which is a hereditary disease for which there is no cure. And Suzanne, I know that a portion of your sales revenue from the book that you've written, The Reluctant Donor, which is very moving, I might say. I really enjoyed reading it. You're giving a portion of your sales revenue to kidney disease research. What kind of research is being done these days? What are we looking for?
We're looking for a cure, and the PKD Foundation is, I should say that what frustrates me the most is that when I tell people that my family has PKD, they usually ask, PK what? So it drives me insane because it's the most common genetic disease. It's more common than Down syndrome, cystic fibrosis, muscular dystrophy, sickle cell anemia, hemophilia, and Huntington's disease combined. And yet, I bet most people have heard of those, and no one's heard of PKD. But the PKD Foundation does the most research and funds the most research into PKD. And there's been, I really have a lot of hope that there will be a cure during my lifetime. They have made incredible progress in the last couple years on new drugs. There's a drug called tolvaptan that slows the progression of PKD in humans.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
That was like, yeah, it was, it's hopeful. And the National Institute of Health is the one that also helps fund research. But there's so many diseases, and, you know, money's a great issue these days for the nonprofits. And so I'm hoping my book brings awareness.
Well, it certainly ought to, and it's such a very touching story. I just sat and cried and emoted and felt and whatever. So the family that you grew up in, so one thing I want to also mention is that PKD strikes people usually between the ages of 25 and 50, which means that most people who die of the disease are quite young, which is also a tragic loss.
And my husband thinks that's why it's not a well-known disease, because it's midlife, so his feeling is that. My dad thinks it's because no one famous has the disease, but it's a disease that that I do write about in the book, and I'm sorry that you cried, but I love when someone says that they laugh too, because that's what life is, and we just were handed this disease to. It has really and truly affected my entire life, and I don't think people understand what it's like to live in a family with a genetic disease, and I was hoping that people would learn that. Plus, we're a normal family. We have squabbles. We have issues. But we have incredible faith and humor.
I'm sorry I left out the humor. There is a lot.
Oh, no, no, that's
right.
I
did laugh. In fact, I just was laughing when you said your father thinks it's because somebody famous hasn't had PKD, because your father is such the publicist. He got so much publicity for the time that you donated the kidney to your sister.
He turned 89 years old last week, and he will not leave this earth until there's a cure. And he's very proud of the fact that he made a phone call that helped secure the first funding for this disease from the National Institute of Health. So, yes, he feels like somebody famous has to be struck with PKD in order to become in the public eye.
Mm. I should tell you, Suzanne, that I had a boyfriend once who told me, I've been a psychotherapist for 40 years, and he told me that he didn't think I was happy unless somebody cried around me every day, because because I work with emotions, and when you cry or laugh or sweat or shake, you're in the process of healing. And so I enjoyed my tears. I was very touched by your story. Now,
you must have laughed at how I went through this book kicking and screaming the whole way.
I was really impressed that you still went. That's the part that's so impressive.
Now, to be honest, I didn't know if I would all the way till the morning of the surgery.
It looks like, and I recall that your sister wasn't sure either. She was going, "Oh, you came, you showed up."
Well, she knows me better sometimes than I know myself, so you're absolutely right. I honestly and truly could never picture myself doing it. But I also knew what she faced, so.
Well, now, when you guys were teens, you were about 19, I think, and your sister's younger. Your parents had your mother and you three daughters tested for PKD, and you were told that everybody was fine, that nobody had it.
I can still remember it. It was after my uncle died. My aunt died, my grandmother died before we were born, but then my aunt died, my uncle died of the same thing, and my other uncle was battling PKD, and they realized it was hereditary. Our parents had us all tested, including my mother, and when the test results came in, I remember they sat us down and said, "We're so lucky, none of us have PKD." And they lied. And the reason they lied was to, I think, looking back on it, they thought they were protecting us because we couldn't, and that's what they say, that they could. We didn't think we could handle it. I was 19, my sister was 18, and our other sister was 17. And they did what they thought was right. My father kept worrying whether or not we would be insurable. So that was why they didn't tell us the truth. But, boy, it blew up.
It certainly
did. Three
out
of four of us had BKD, yes.
Oh, my gosh. And you waited until the time when you actually were working, that 10-month period prior to donating your kidney to your sister, to find out whether you actually had the gene or you didn't have it. Is that not so?
Yeah. That is absolutely true. I always knew what to look for, and I always told my primary care doctor that we had it in the family, and I was, we moved all over we lived in many cities because of my husband's job, and so I was always changing doctors and insurance, and I never wanted to be uninsurable. We were told not to have any children, which really was incorrect and that's another thing. Genetic testing has come a long way, and we're just going to be celebrating our 40th wedding anniversary. And
congratulations!
At the time, when we were engaged, they didn't know enough, and they told us not to have children. Well, that would have been wrong because if I don't have PKD, my children won't. But my sister's children have a 50% chance of inheriting the disease. So that goes with what I said about living with a genetic illness and the weight and the burden it carries. The elephant in the room, I always say.
You know, my sister in 2004 had ovarian cancer, and I went with her for genetic counseling. And I was advised to get tested every year to make sure that I don't have it. We believe that our grandmother also died of ovarian cancer, though in her era it was called stomach cancer. And I decided not to go for the testing every year because I didn't want to focus my attention on what could go wrong. I wanted to focus my attention on what could go right.
You're right. I had a doctor tell me that I was foolish for not finding out if I had it because I could plan my life accordingly, and that really stopped me in my tracks. you just don't know. It just goes back to that whole burden that you would carry if you knew. And I know that is partly why my mother didn't tell us. She said that she couldn't bear it if people asked her every day, "How are you feeling? How are you feeling?" If they knew she had the disease. So if we had the other issue of having to deal with our parents telling us a lie. So there's a lot of things that go on in your head with any illness, and especially with when you were told possibly you had the same you need to watch out for your sister's disease, too. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's a burden that's always in the back of your mind.
Well, I interviewed one of the editors of Wired magazine who had written a book about how technology is impacting health. And we now have the ability to get genetic testing. You know, it's maybe about $500, so anybody with $500 can go get themselves tested genetically, and they can find out what diseases they might be susceptible to. And there's a whole issue, you know. If you know that you might develop breast cancer, for example, do you go have your breasts removed so you make sure you don't have breast cancer, or do you deal with it? And what kind of impact does that knowledge actually have on you?
It is definitely. I have a friend who's got colon cancer in the family, and she's advised every 6 months to have a colonoscopy, and colonoscopies are not fun. So you're right. Having the progress made in genetic testing and what you learn, maybe that one doctor was right. Maybe you would plan your life accordingly. Especially the reason I wrote the book was for my niece, and she is now faced with whether or not she has it. And there still is that fine, even though now I guess healthcare does cover pre-existing conditions. I can't keep up with what is going on with that right now. But she has not had herself tested, and she's newly married, and they are just decided they've been battling whether to have children because she has a 50% chance of inheriting PKD. But I'll never forget my mother saying, who's to say the first 30 years of my life weren't worth living? So that's another flip side of the coin.
Yes. Wow. There's just so many questions that come up. We're up to our second break. I'm talking today with Suzanne Ruff, who's author of The Reluctant Donor, about her family's challenges due to polycystic kidney disease and her own personal challenge in being a living kidney donor. We'll be right back after these messages here on Full Power Living.
To Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Do you know that emotionally, children form the foundation for their life during their first 7 years? Most adults just repeat that early emotional learning, good or bad, over and over for the rest of their lives. If you want to give your child an opportunity to live an emotionally masterful life, then join me, Eileen Dillon, also known as the Emotional Pro, for a free one-hour teleseminar on what it takes for your child to become an emotional master. You'll discover important things like what emotions are designed to do for us. Four things it's vital for parents to tell their children about emotions, and the single most important thing to do when someone is feeling emotion. Register now at RaiseIncredibleKids.com. The time has come for us to allow emotions their rightful place in our lives as the tools and helpers they're created to be. Find out what you need to know in order to give this vital information to your children so they can live emotionally masterful lives. Go now to RaiseIncredibleKids.com for your free Emotional Mastery Teleseminar. We're back here on Full Power Living today talking with Suzanne Ruff, who's author of The Reluctant Donor. Now, Suzanne, as we know, three of the four of you who got tested got ill, and your sister Joanne was a person that when you found out she had PKD, you immediately volunteered to give her one of your kidneys, although, as you say in the book, you were the least likely person in the family to make such a donation. Why is that?
Because she knew that I wasn't getting along with her, and also because I am a coward, just like I said earlier about being like the cowardly lion in The Wizard of Oz. I just don't have very much backbone when it comes to anything medical or anything involving a needle or blood. And I had told my husband right after our mother's funeral, which our mother died just before my sister Joanne collapsed with PKD.
Ugh.
And it was a few months prior to her death that, after my mother's death that my sister collapsed. And I had told my husband at the funeral, I will never speak to her again. She was grumpy and she was irritable and she had become unpleasant. I wasn't living in the same city as her, but whenever I had seen her recently in that time frame, she just wasn't a pleasant person. And when she collapsed and I found out it was PKD, I realized how much I loved her. I picked up the phone and called her in the hospital, and our other sister told us that she was in critical condition. And when I got through to her, I said, I just blurted it out. I'll give you one of my kidneys. Mm-hmm. And she actually laughed because she said, first of all, you need to find out if you have PKD. They lied to us about all of us. And then she said, you need to, if you don't have PKD, I know you better than you know yourself, and you'll never be able to do it.
Uh-huh. And so the grumpiness and the behavior change actually was reflecting the disease process, was it not?
Oh, it was. I have a sentence in my book, Illness Brings You to Your Knees. And the reason I had to take a long, hard look at myself in the mirror. I had judged her. I had been unfair to her. She was crabby and irritable and grumpy because she was sick. And mm-hmm. When your kidneys are failing, you're not yourself.
I want you to tell us the story of Sean. I really, in addition to the story of you and your sister Joanne, I loved your stories about your aunt Mike, who is a nun, and your mom, and Sean. But Sean's his story is really relevant to your family's experience. Will you tell us a little bit about him?
I'm so glad you asked. Sean came into our lives, and he was like a son to us, to my husband and I. He was just a single young man that worked with my husband. Fun, lively, I love him to pieces. And he had showed his driver's license to me one day, and I noticed that he didn't have the organ donor box checked. And I said to him, why haven't you checked your organ donor box? And he immediately grabbed the license back and said he would never be an organ donor. Doctors would not do anything to save his life if he was in an accident, and they would just make sure they got his organs. And I told him it was a myth, and I explained my mother and my sister had received transplants, and it was the greatest thing you could do for your fellow man in the event of a sudden or unexpected death. And he went back the next day and signed the organ donor box and changed his license, and then I told him, I hope you live a long life and are never an organ donor. And fast forward 2 years later, his mother collapsed in renal failure. She needed to be on dialysis, and he went to visit her. They're from South Africa, and he donated his kidney to his mother, a living donor. And then 2 years after that, my sister collapsed, and I turned to Sean for comfort and wisdom. But today is the 11th anniversary of his mother and his transplant. So,
wow.
And they're both doing fine.
Oh, great. And you're doing fine too, I take it.
Oh, yes. I can run 5Ks and bike ride and swim, and my
That's
sister's
great.
In great health.
And she was able, I love this. This was a place where I was laughing. She was able to go to her daughter's wedding, which otherwise she wouldn't have been alive for.
Yes, and her other daughter was just engaged last week. So I think my sister is going to be a grandmother. So that's new news for her too. So she's all those things that I thought of when I thought about backing out that I knew she wanted to see and live for have all come to fruition, and it's a joy for her and for me to know that I helped make that happen.
Great. What message do you want listeners to take away regarding kidney and organ donation today?
Number one is to cherish life if you're healthy. And number two, if you know someone who is failing, has kidneys that are failing, be understanding and helpful to them. Our kidneys are a gift, and life is a gift from God, and to just enjoy life and cherish it.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, your writing is very compelling. You're a great storyteller, and you certainly have a very powerful story to tell. So I want to thank you personally, not only for your bravery in donating the kidney to your sister, but in sharing your story so that you can inspire in other people about polycystic kidney disease and about organ donation, and as you just said, about the preciousness of our relationship. So thank you very much for that and for appearing with us today on Full Power Living. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, it's an honor to be here. Thank you so much.
Join us live every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific time for more powerful experiences on Full Power Living. In the meantime, sign up to listen to our archives at emotionalpro.com and listen in next week when I talk with Meadow Lynn about the Mystic Cookbook. Paul and Robin Johnston of Fresh Talk Media are our producers today. Thank you, Paul. For now, I'm Eileen Dillon, your host, reminding you, pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become.
Listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.